When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And a little housekeeping stuff to deal with. I have been remiss in keeping updates on the show. I was meaning to update the show earlier this week. I know I promised you two every week, so there's going to be one today and I guess one tomorrow in order to meet my quota. You know, I would love to do the show even more often than I do. I really actually enjoy doing the Thunder Punch dailies, but and I've got a notebook full of ideas for episodes, and as I've talked about before, I really enjoy doing the show as a sort of a daily meditation on my workday. Helps keep me more mindful about what I'm working on every day. I almost wonder if this would be an interesting exercise for a lot of cartoonists to do, to keep it basically an audio diary. That's all. Like I said, that's how I'm thinking about this show, and it'd help get you more mindful about your workday, but also improve your public speaking skills, I would imagine. But that's sort of like one of those little fleeting thoughts that occurred through my head in the recent days. But without going into too much detail about bemoaning how busy I am lately, I am really busy lately. This month is going to really, really suck. We were talking about it on today's Art and Story Extreme, which was a makeup episode because we didn't do the show on Thursday like we had planned on. Things are getting really hectic, and for the next 4 weeks or so, it's going to be very dicey getting everything I want to get done. But that said, I am not going to forsake you guys. You guys are supporting us in this endeavor, and this is one thing that I'm not going to let slip through the cracks. So here I am today. And what are we talking about today? I'm going to share a few thoughts on word balloons. This is something that I talked about a bunch of episodes ago, and I promised I'd get back to it again with some more thoughts on word balloons, and here they are. I see the work of a lot of beginning and young cartoonists, and I see a lot of the same problems occurring in their word balloon usage on the page. And I just wanted to kind of address just a list of things to just keep your eye on when you're doing your word balloon placement in your comic stories. Because I think, as I've said in many past episodes of Art and Story and on Thunder Punch Daily, is the word balloons, often these are going to be the first things that people look at in your story. They are also the guide, the first and most prominent guide that you have to guide the reader's eye across the page. Yes, you have panel layout. Yes, you have the moment choices. Yes, you have the angling that you choose to arrange your elements within the panels. But because we read comics, we view comics, but we read comics too. This is one of those things that makes it such a sophisticated and wonderful medium. But most people read them. And that means that they're going to look at those word balloons or caption boxes first as their clue of where to go. So, word balloon placement is really important, and this is the neat thing about the time we're living in, where so many of us can avail ourselves of digital software like Adobe Illustrator or Adobe Photoshop to create our word balloons. Most of us do nowadays. Very few of us, with thinking of say Kim Holm of CartoonArchy.blogspot.com. I know he's a big proponent of hand lettering, and I agree with him for the most part, but not all of us are necessarily that good at hand lettering, and you can get a lot better results out of digital lettering. But that doesn't alleviate you of the same kind of concerns that you have to think about when you're hand lettering. In word balloon placement, this is a tough one to talk about in audio, but I'll just give you a few checkpoints that I like to go through when I'm ballooning a page. And this is why I think that there's a really cool thread that I started on the Art and Story forums called Post Your Thumbs. And we were posting thumbnails from our previous works on there, and I noticed that not many people who have posted their thumbnails so far actually put their word balloons on their thumbnails. I word balloon at the thumbnail level, and this is a great way for me to do that kind of like spot checking to see where the balloons will fit, also to get a sense of how the word balloons will interact with the page and how they will be integrated into the page and whether or not they are a good, there's a good flow on the page from one balloon to the next. Do the balloons guide your eye in the proper way? And 99% of the time when I actually letter the page at the final stage, after everything's been inked and colored, there's no guesswork. I rarely have to really adjust any of my word balloon placement because I've already figured it out at the thumbnailing stage, which is why I've said many times before that thumbnailing is where I think the real creativity happens because there's so many choices you're making. But placement. Okay, generally speaking, we in the West read left to right, top to bottom. Now, you get to play with this with word balloons. You get to create different kind of reading directionalities with the word balloons. And I encourage people to experiment and play with that. I think we should always create in the spirit of play. And it's always fascinating to me to create, to use word balloons to guide the reader through what would be otherwise a confusing panel sequence. I've talked many times about that page from Switch Runners, the comic that Mark and I did. And we talked about it in the Big Balloon 2, I think. I've referred to that page many times. I think it's like page 4 or 5 of Switch Runners, which you can find at sugarcereals.com. Why do I talk about it so much? Because I think I'm really proud of it. It's one of those breakthrough pages for me where I was like, wow, this page would be almost unreadable if I didn't do really good word balloon placement on here. So left to right, top to bottom, meaning that your first balloon should, generally speaking, be at the top left, or it should be the top leftmost balloon on there. And but considering that you're going down to the next panel, let's say if it's a panel that spans the entire width of the top third of the page, your ending balloon, whatever balloon you should end on, should point, generally speaking, drag the reader's eye down to the bottom left of that panel to lead them to the next panel below. Obviously, if you're dealing with a 9-panel grid and you're going from panel 1 to the left, or to the right, to panel 2, you don't need to worry about that so much. But generally speaking, you want to keep your first balloons higher, your second or your ladder balloons lower. A tip that I picked up from comicbookfonts.com, by the way, great site not only to get fonts, but also they have a section on there where they have tutorials on how to letter in Adobe Illustrator. I've picked up a lot of my techniques from there. I highly recommend it if you want to learn more about lettering in Illustrator. But one of the things they talk about in there that I think is really great is never put a balloon between two characters who are talking to each other if you can avoid it. There's going to be times where you can't. But if you can, try to keep the balloons out of the line of sight between two characters. I think that creates a division in the reader's mind between those two moments to almost act like a gutter between panels, and it'll treat it as if it's two separate moments when it's actually part of like a larger moment. So it's something to try to watch out for. Also, something that I see a lot of creators, young and beginning creators, doing that I learned the hard way as well. Let me make that caveat, is that I've made a lot of these mistakes in my own work. You can go back and look at the front online on the MLATcomics.com site. I left the original pages up with my crappy lettering because I wanted that to serve as both as like a first draft of the book to like keep that documented. But also just because partially because I'm lazy and I've got the graphic novel version with the updated lettering done, and I could just re-upload all the pages, but that would take a lot of time that I don't have right now. And like I said, I like the idea of keeping the old pages up so I can keep pointing at it, saying like, don't do this. And one of the things I did a lot is I overlapped my balloons with the panel borders, meaning here's the panel, the balloon spills out across two panels, and I just laid it over top without integrating it. What do I mean by integration? I think a nice aesthetic thing to do is if you're going to have a balloon that spills out into the gutters, erase the part of the balloon that's actually in the gutter. The gutter is the negative space, the negative zone between the moments in your story. And if you just have the balloon just kind of dropped on over top and just a completed balloon spilling out into the gutter, it looks to me nowadays that you just kind of threw it on as an afterthought. But if you erase where the balloon is connected into the gutter, it looks more intentional. John Workman is a great letterer, and I think he actually digitally letters now, but he comes from the old days of hand lettering, and he did that a lot. He would have balloons go, say, panel one, you have a character saying a line of dialogue, and the balloon spans the gutter between panel one and two, and he always used it as a way to sort of guide you into panel two, and it's as if he used it specifically a lot in moments where one character's speech would kind of bleed into the moments in panel two, as if you're almost like changing the camera shot. Remember, there's no camera in comics, changing the viewing angle, let's say, to another character while that sentence is being completed. So if you're going to have it overlap, knock out the parts where the balloon edge touches the gutter. That's something I like to do. You can see it in a lot of my later works, like in Switch Runners, in the Cosmic Adventures of Gina Kranz, the stuff where I clearly have figured out a little bit more about lettering. So placement's important. Also, integration is important. If you're going to have your balloon touch the top of the panel, see, this is something that I see a lot, not a lot of young creators taking advantage of. This is a technique from the old days. Is generally speaking, you want to center the text in your balloons. And in that case, you want it to follow the contour of the balloon. So you want the middle sentence, the middle row of letters, as it were, in your balloon to be the widest. And then as you get closer to the top or closer to the bottom of the balloon, it gets narrower. Too often I'll see people just, you know, sort of have like a justified paragraph inside a balloon. And I don't think you should do that unless you're doing it for effect. There's a reason that that technique was invented a long time ago and used so often in word balloon usage, because it reads really well. But if you're going to have it go towards the top, you have this special consideration that you get to take advantage of. And you can see this in some of the Switch Runner stuff that I lettered. I think in Cosmic Adventures of Gina Kranz as well, both available on SugarCereals.com. I'm doing a lot of plugs for myself today, huh? Is that you can sort of like cut the balloon in half and have the balloon intersect with the top line of the panel border. And then treat the top line as the widest line and have the dialogue follow the shape of the bottom half of the balloon getting narrower at the bottom. And you can find yourself achieving more space in your panel while still having that wonderful placement of having your first balloon at the top of the panel just by sort of cutting the balloon in half, cutting the top half off, sort of, and having your dialogue, the first line, be the widest line and then the subsequent lines being narrower and narrower. I mean, I'm trying my best to describe this in audio. But centering the text is a big one, too, that I think that a lot of creators don't do properly in their word balloons, is they'll have everything centered, but they'll be irregular shapes. You want the dialogue in the balloon to be roughly balloon shape. If you have, say, sentence one is narrow, and then you get the sentence two gets a little wider, sentence three is wider yet, and then sentence four gets narrower, sentence five gets wider again, and then sentence six gets narrower again. It takes on this kind of wavy kind of shape, and unless you're going to adjust the balloons to follow that contour, it tends to look a little goofy, and it tends to waste some of that wonderful space that you have, that you don't want too much negative space in a word balloon, again, unless you're going for effect. Generally speaking, and this is very general, you know, you want about 1 to 1.5 letters width between the text and the edge of the balloon. It's something where you have to kind of do it by touch and taste and really look at some lettering done by some professionals like John Workman. I'm trying to think of some other really good ones. Bob Lappin is a really excellent letterer. Look for anything that he's lettered. Also, if I'm not mistaken, the fellow who wrote The Walking Dead, and I can't remember his name offhand, but I remember looking at those books, the Walking Dead trade paperbacks, and I think Kirkman, that's his name, I think he actually did the lettering in those books, and he did a really good job with it, I remember being really impressed with it. Check with others to check about your word balloon placement, especially people who aren't terribly well-versed in comic storytelling, because they're going to be the ones who are going to most rely on your word balloon placement to decide where to go next. And if they're confused, rethink it. This is where having a sounding board for your pages, either the thumbnail stage or even at the digital lettering stage, if you have somebody to bounce this off of, like a family member or a friend at work, just say, does this read right? How do you read this? You know, where do you go first? Which balloon do you read first? And which one second? Which one third? And if they get confused, then other people are going to be confused. So it's always a good idea if you're new to lettering to double check with people. Another thing that Mark and I have talked about in the past is making your balloons slightly irregular in shape. That goes a long way to integrate it and make it look a little bit more intentional and hand-done. To just grab an ellipse tool in Photoshop or in Illustrator and just drag it with the arrow tool and just have this mathematically perfect ellipse tends to look a little artificial. It looks amateurish because it's so easy to do that. Going that extra step, and whether you're using the custom shape tool in Photoshop or the ellipse tool in Illustrator, there are these Bezier points, I think that's how you pronounce it, these little anchor points on the balloon that you can use with the arrow tool to touch, and you can actually adjust these anchor point handles kind of pop out, and you can adjust those accordingly. Actually, I think on the Art and Story YouTube site, I've got like a lettering in Adobe Illustrator tutorial that I posted a long time ago, like a year ago. And I show how to mess with those Bezier points to make the balloons just a little bit irregular, just a tiny bit will make it look more hand done. And it will seem to be more integrated into your hand done art that way. Finally, there's fonts. Fonts is a dicey topic. Everybody's going to make the joke. Comic Sans. Yeah, you don't want to use Comic Sans. That's overdone. It's best if you can create your own font, and there's sites where you can actually create custom fonts. Somebody will do it for you. But again, Blambot and comicbookfonts.com have some wonderful fonts. I recommend that you actually go the distance and purchase a few. I know money's tight, and it's tight for me too, but it's worth it to just get a few that look good to you and try out a few different fonts on your page. Don't just go with something that you think looks cool just because it looks cool. Actually put it on your page and try out a few different fonts to see how it feels. I use a couple different fonts. I have one that I made myself that I use for all of my personal projects, but then when I team up with people like Switch Runners, we used the Joe Kubert font that Mark purchased from comicbookfonts.com. Because I think when Mark's and my work goes together, it blended with the Joe Kubert font's aesthetic better than with my font's aesthetic. When I ink my work myself, I think it tends to work better with my own font. And plus, that's my own personal stamp to say this is my book. This is something that I'm primarily responsible for. And that's one of those intangible things that comes through with every aesthetic choice you make in the work. One last one is tails. I'm of the opinion that you should adjust the shape of your tails on your balloons often, not willy-nilly, and I don't have a unified theory yet for how I like to think about tails, but generally speaking, if somebody's shouting or saying something aggressively, or if there's something with a lot of staccato rhythm to it, I tend to use just the standard triangle tail, two straight lines forming a point pointing at the person's head. But if there's more of a rhythm to it, like a sing-song kind of rhythm, there's more of like a conversational rhythm, I like to curve at least one of those lines in the tail. I think, again, it looks more hand-drawn, it looks more natural, it has a softer feeling. And the width of the tail, that's a point of consideration that maybe I could do a whole Thunder Punch about because I'm already running long today. But yeah, think about changing the shape of your tails every once in a while. Don't just use the two straight lines because that, again, it looks like there's unintentional work going on there where you're just using the tools kind of half-heartedly. Oh, here's the balloon. I got to get this thing done. Just putting a little curve on one of them takes it that extra step to say, yeah, I'm paying attention to this stuff. If nothing else, it says that. So word balloons, they're cool, and I want to talk about them some more, and I will on a future Thunder Punch Daily. Who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thanks so much for your support of this project. We could not do these shows without you. And welcome to all the new subscribers. We've been getting some new subscribers lately, and we are very grateful for that. And we're very grateful for the people who have been sticking around for a couple months now. You guys are awesome, and you make my day. You make me realize that this stuff is actually worth something to somebody. And one more thing, if you want to, I just made a new product in the Zazzle store. If you want a Thunder Punch Daily mug, you can go to zazzle.com/artandstorypodcast, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's it. And you can get a mug with the Thunder Punch Daily logo and the little expression from the intro on there. Hey, I'm just grateful for your support of this project. And don't forget to check out the other shows, a lot of great stuff, and the forums, etc. So until next time, well, until tomorrow, I guess, I've been Jersey Drozd. Thanks for listening. And remember, everybody.
Boy, the fruit on that tree looks good enough to eat, doesn't it? That's like a lot of things you might find around your house or in your neighborhood. But looks can fool you. Sometimes things that look or smell good can make you very sick. Remember, never taste or eat anything if you're not sure what it is. The best thing to do is to ask a grown-up who knows. Remember, it's better to be safe than sorry. Till next time.